Father, thank you for your Spirit that is at work within us. Thank you that you are the only God, that there is no one else besides you. You said to test you in this, Lord. Lord, thank you that we can testify that this is true. Lord, I pray that you would not only reveal yourself to us, but God, that you would move by your power among us. Lord, I pray that all eloquence and human wisdom would be cast out of this room, and that you would move by the power and demonstration of your Spirit, that we might live wholly for you, completely for you. By the powerful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So, pretty popular or common verse, at least seems so to me. I've heard it often. Oops. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, or in the heavenlies. Now, I want to point out something that another pastor pointed out, first of all. There's a real problem in our churches today with the way they punctuate this verse. I know it sounds a little academic, but many people like to put a period in the middle of the first line. They say, "For we do not wrestle." Now, they don't say this as they're reading, but they say this with their actions. We don't wrestle. We refuse to fight. You see, this is an important message for us today. This is something that God has moved strongly upon my heart, and so I encourage you all to pay very close attention, because this is not my words, but this is of the Lord. We are not in a battle. We're in a war. And we need to get that across our minds. We often say we're battling or we're in a battle, but we're not. We might have little battles here and there, but we're in a war. And either you choose to fight and defeat, or you are going to be defeated. And many of you have already experienced that. You have already been overcome by the enemy. So either you choose to fight, or you become defeated. You become a victim. This is your choice. We are not in a battle. This is not just a little skirmish that's going to end one day. This will continue until you are gone and beyond. And you are in the war until you are gone. That's it. And you don't have a choice in the matter. We have choice, but this is one choice you don't have. If the United States of America goes to war against Iraq or Iran, you are at war with another country, whether you like it or not. Now, as Americans, we tend to get a little deceived here, because we have this understanding of whether or not we want to sign up for the army. So we kind of have this idea that, you know, even though our country is fighting, doesn't mean we have to fight. And that's one of the deceptions Satan has employed against our nation and the spiritual condition of our nation, even physically. Because we think that just because there's a war going on, doesn't mean we have to fight it. But every other country knows, if your country is in war, you're in war whether you like it or not, and if it gets bad enough, you're going to get called into fight. That's what the draft is. And we all know that looming draft, if things get bad enough, can take place physically. Now let me tell you something. There are two kingdoms in this world. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. They are at war. You're either on one side or the other. If they are fighting, you will either be killed or you will kill. It's that simple. You either be bound and taken into prison, or you will bind and cast out the enemy. That's your choices. There's not middle ground here. This is why this is so important. Many of you have already suffered defeat because you have not fought, or because you are convinced by someone that there's no need to fight, or that the other kingdom was actually better.
Whoa.
That might be as a Christian, not a Christian. I mean, going to church, I should say. Many people who go to church, again, they refuse to fight. This verse could also be translated this way. For we don't wrestle. Now, think about wrestling. I tried to look up the Greek definition of this word. And this word's actually only used this time in the Bible. This is the only time the word wrestle is used in the Greek language and the English language. And it could only define the Greek word by fully describing what a wrestling match is. And it defined it by saying that what happens is this word is describing that competition that takes place where two people are grappling with one another until the other holds his opponent down by the throat. That's wrestling. According to the Greek definition, that was the only way it could describe it because this is the only use of the word. So, you're either being held down by the throat or you're going to grab someone else by the throat. You don't have a choice. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. And let me tell you something. You don't want to be against Jesus. Now, here's where the problem is if you're claiming to be a Christian. Jesus said, concerning his kingdom, he said that, speaking to Peter, he was in the middle of a sentence, so it's kind of hard to quote offhand. But he told Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now what does that say? How often do gates get up and start chasing you? Does anyone expect this door to come after you right now? I don't think so. Right? But if that door prevails against you, that's because you're trying to go through it. And it's locked. Right? But Jesus is saying the gates of hell will not prevail against you. What does that say that we are doing? We're breaking down the gates of hell to pull out of the fire those who are needing to be saved.
Amen.
See, the kingdom that we are fighting, we are ambassadors for Christ. What is an ambassador? It's someone who has the authority of the king in a foreign land. This world is under the rulership of Satan. He is called the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world. When Satan contested with Jesus, he said, if you will bow down to me, I will give you, Jesus, all of these nations. And Jesus never denied that. He never argued with him on that point. This world belongs to Satan. Why? We gave it to him. It was a legal battle. Satan knew the law. And he knew that if he could legally get us to surrender the rights to him, that he would now be the god of this world and people would look up to him even as they once looked up to God. Because he hated God. He wanted to be in God's position. Why? Because God made all angels to be ministering spirits to those who would inherit salvation, which is us. And Satan, the glorious angel in Ezekiel chapter 28, the one who was the worship leader, you can go read about his beautiful description as he's in the garden of God on the top of the mountain of God. He's there, decked out with all the jewels, and he looks down and God creates these, dust creatures. He says, I'm going to serve them? I don't think so. And his heart was lifted up and he said, I will ascend to the mountain of the Most High, as it reads in Isaiah chapter 14. He said, I will become the God. I'm not serving them. But what did God do? You see, Satan's lie is that God doesn't want you to be like him. But that's not the truth. And we're always tempted with this thought, trying to be like God is not being humble. That's a lie from Satan. And anytime you hear that voice, by the way, every voice is a person. If you hear that voice, there's a person telling you this lie, that being like God is not being humble. That's exactly the opposite. God told you to be like him. And if you don't do it, you're not humble. Because you're lifting up yourself just like Satan did. And now you're in his kingdom. Now you're falling to his tricks. And he's not doing it because he likes you. He's doing it because he hates you. And he doesn't want to serve you. He wants to trample you. Satan comes for these three reasons: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. There is no niceness. There's no fairness. There's no any of this nice guy. He doesn't fight fair. He doesn't fight in your face. And he doesn't fight on the same level as you do. So we need to learn how to fight. We need to learn that we're in a war. And this war will continue. There's not many battles. It's all the same thing. There's different lands that he's fighting. This verse could be translated this way: for we wrestle not against persons with bodies, but we wrestle against the rulers in the spiritual places, the heavenly places. We don't wrestle it. We're not fighting people with bodies, but we are fighting people. You need to realize that. Like I said, everything with a voice is a person. Right?
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. To say that it's not, we hear these recordings on our phone. Guess how that recording got there? A person. Right? We know that everything with a voice is a person. If you hear a voice, it's a person. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says that we need to take captive every thought. Why? Because they're not all from you. And they're not all from God. You need to be active in taking that thing captive and saying, get out of here. You see, this is something I've come to learn. The spiritual affects the physical more than the physical affects the physical. If you've got a disease, it might be more so because of a spiritual situation than because of a physical one. Chemical imbalances in your body are caused by emotional conditions. Cancer is primarily caused by stress. Chemically. I read a book recently that went way over my head, but this Christian doctor was explaining that when you are stressed out, there's actually chemical reactions that are taking place when you eat, that as that food goes down, it combines with chemicals that no longer fight the normal cancer cells in your body. So when you eat while you're stressed, the chances of you getting cancer are extremely higher. That's reality. When you're stressed, you need to go to God. Fast and pray. Fast. Right? There's a reason for that. God knows what he's doing. You ever think about that? God made you. So, I just say that to emphasize the fact that something that we normally think of as non-physical, as our emotions, actually has more impact on your body than anything else in the world. More than someone cutting you with a knife. That cancer will kill you way faster. I mean, the guy's got to stab you 17 times to get the right spot, you know. And sometimes you'll still live, right? Well, I know, that's pretty rare, but still. You get the point. Cancer will just wipe you out. The spiritual affects the physical far more than the physical will ever affect the physical. We need to realize that this world is a spiritual world primarily. Primarily. There are physical things that take place. There are people that are driving, and there are people that are eating and speaking next to you and all of these things. But most of those situations are taking place due to a spiritual situation. We need to realize that. If we will wake up to this, we'll be able to fight. So, the kingdom of Satan is the ruling power in this world, legally. God will not take over, and he did not decide to take over until the legal battle is fought. Satan legally won the world from God through us. He convinced us to give him the title deed to the earth. That's what happened when Adam and Eve sinned. They surrendered the earth to Satan and said, "You can now rule over us. We will listen to your authority rather than to God's authority." That's what happens. So Satan's the god of this world. And we are ambassadors for Christ if you have received Christ. We are in a foreign land. We are going into the gates of hell. And they will not prevail against us. We will overcome. How will we overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. By the way, just a couple of references for those of you taking notes. 2 Corinthians 4:4 is the one that says that Satan is the god of this age. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 is the one that says he is the prince of the power of the air. Those are important. He's the prince of the power of the air. So that means every place that you walk into that has an atmosphere to it, when you sense a different feeling in the room, there's probably something going on. John told us in his first epistle, you need to be discerning of spirits. So you're aware of what's going on. We need to know the battle we're fighting. We need to know who we're fighting. When someone's angry at you, it's not because of them. Almost 100% of the time. If someone's angry and yelling in your face, know this. It is not the person that's angry at you. They have been tempted and fallen into temptation by a spirit. And you can speak to that spirit of anger and say, "Be gone from here in the name of Jesus." And it will bind the enemy. We need to be careful of things. Words and actions have power. We understand this in our age. Technology should be an explicit indicator to us that these things are real. How? My tablet here can actually send information, full paragraphs, actually full books, within seconds, wirelessly to your phone. Called Bluetooth, right? And that entire book can be printed out on a non-printer, you know, just like we did, by sending information wirelessly without being able to see it. Why do we think that God can't do the same thing? You think he's the only? You think we're the only ones that came up with wireless technology? You think God can't do that? Where do we get our brains from? You think this stuff isn't really? When you speak a word, it goes into the ether. You ever seen an Ethernet cord? Ether. There's a world out there where you post a Facebook post and it goes and it affects people. They hate you because you dislike them on Facebook. You're not their friend anymore. Now, it doesn't affect them quite as much, but you see what I'm saying? You're posting something in a non-physical world that's actually affecting people physically. Your words have power. And that's just on a technology, you know, technological basis here. Just a thing that we all understand. Now, do you think that actually happens in the rest of your life? If we can come up with that idea, do you think God has come up with that yet? In fact, God didn't come up with it. That's just the way it is. He gave us bodies so that we can see, overcome the spiritual reality. The problem is, in our physical bodies, if we were to see the demons, if we were to see the spiritual world, we'd be so afraid that we would never try to act. So He gives us grace by giving us physical worlds that we live in, so that when these things happen, we don't see the nasty-looking demon behind them. We just see the people. We know there's a demon there, and we overcome it without even seeing him. You see, if we saw that demon, we'd be so scared, we wouldn't know what to do. Because we don't have the power of God anymore. We lost that in the Garden of Eden. He breathed the breath of life into us, the Spirit of God, and when we sinned, we lost it. The light no longer is shining from us. In fact, our DNA actually emits light. It's designed to shine. God gave us that. That was our clothing in the garden, our clothing. That's why when they sinned, all of a sudden they realized they were naked. Because the bright light was no longer there. They were naked before that, but they weren't ashamed because they never even noticed they were naked because there was this light just emitting from their bodies. Just like the sun, you can never see if there's actually anything in there. Because it's so bright that you're never dumb enough to look at it that long. You know? That's kind of like what it was in the garden. Our light is shining. But then we listen to the authority of Satan, we surrender it all to Satan, and then we lose it all. And so now we don't know how to act in power. We don't know that God's power is more. We don't understand it. So God lets us live in a physical world so that we can overcome the enemy without having to worry about the strength and how big and powerful and ugly he looks. Okay? But how do we overcome? By the blood of the Lamb. He did the work. And by the word of our testimony. We have to testify to what He did and has already done. I want to address this in a very specific way. Our defense is the kingdom of God. It's the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb has done the work. Jesus said that the ruler of this world is judge. He said, after me will come one who will testify and convict the world concerning sin. That's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin because they do not believe in me. That's the only sin that people ever commit that is actually has significance. Jesus' blood has covered all sins. The only sin that actually matters at this point is whether or not you put your trust in Him. That's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And speaking against the Holy Spirit is as well. Just be careful there. Righteousness. He will come and convict the world concerning righteousness because I am going to the Father and you'll see me no longer. You'll no longer see the perfect example of righteousness living on the earth, Jesus. And so therefore, the Spirit will convict you concerning righteousness so that you will know how to live. Because Jesus gave the perfect example, but He's not here anymore. We need the Spirit to convict us. When you're convicted, don't tell someone they're judging you. It's the Spirit. Stop judging me. Actually, Jesus is going to judge you anyway, so you might as well suck it up. He didn't say don't judge. He said be careful what measure you use to judge, because the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So as long as you're judging on God's authority, you have no problem. If you're judging on your authority, you have a problem. Amen. If you say that movie is bad for you, no, it's bad for you, and you think he shouldn't see it. Just state it that way. I think that movie is bad. I don't think you should see it. But you can go see it if you want to. Right? That's the proper way to say that. But if you're judging him, saying, well, smoking's bad. Yeah, it'll probably kill you. But that's not the sin that's sending you to hell. It's you not believing in Jesus. It'll stumble you. It'll keep you and keep your mind out of wanting to serve God. That's the problem with it. See, the sin is not following Him. And anything that comes and takes the power over you is not worth having. That's why smoking is bad. Because it takes hold over you, and you no longer have control over yourself. And there's a spirit behind that.
Yeah.
You see, there's a spirit behind just about everything. When you pray to saints as a Catholic, there's a spirit behind every one of those saints. Paul said, you're not worshiping idols, you're worshiping demons. And even in Deuteronomy, it says the same thing. Following the wisdom of man is demonic. Go to James chapter 3. A lot of you like James. It's a pretty exhortive book. Near the end there, starting in verse 13. Who is a wise man among you, and who has knowledge? Let him show how good his conversation... This is Old King James, so I'm trying to translate for you. Let him show how good his conversation, his works with the meekness of wisdom. But if you have any bitter envying and strife in your hearts, do not glory in this, and do not lie against the truth. This wisdom does not come from above, but it's earthly, sensual, demonic. When you start following man's wisdom, this is demonic. When you're hearing someone else's voice, a person that's fighting against you, you're not following God, you're not even following yourself. Atheists are worshiping demons. They don't know. Remember the atheist Thursday night? He said, I'm an atheist. I said, no, you're not. No one's an atheist. They're worshiping something. And someone convinced him to worship science. The self-indulged idea that we don't need anything but ourselves. It's called humanism. It's actually a religion. But they don't want to acknowledge that. Where man becomes God, and that's the perfect lie of Satan from the beginning. You can be God. God just doesn't want you to be like Him. No, God does want you to be like Him because He knows that you never have the ability to actually be like Him. You are not of the same material as God. If you become perfectly like God, you'll never be like God. Because the only way you can become like God is in His character. You're a created being. He's not. End of story. You will never be fully like God. Don't worry about it. Be as much like God as you can. Stop fighting this. Satan will come and he plays tricks. If you shut him out the front door, he's coming in the back. And if you shut down when you got the window open. He doesn't care. He's coming from every side he can think of. Satan doesn't play fair. You say, come on, fight me like a man. No. He fights you like a demon. And he's coming any way he can get a hold of you. Our defense is in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus has finished the work. Just to finish up, John 16. The Spirit will come and convict concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Already, by the blood of the Lamb, the ruler of this world has been judged. You can claim this. I'm going to show you how to do that this morning. Our defense is the kingdom. By the way, we have angels fighting for us. Did you know that? You have angels assigned to you personally. And some of you have experienced that in a car. Right?
Yes.
Some of you have experienced that. Very physically. Some of you, you've all heard the stories. Someone dove into the deep end of the pool at 3 years old. Right? And they ended up on the shallow end. How'd they do that? They have no idea. You know? We have constant stories like this. There's angels what? The Spirit of God is with us. And He's moving people. If you were to read Daniel chapter 10 later on, I don't have a lot of time, so I don't want to flip around to all these passages. Daniel chapter 10. He defines there how the prince of Persia and the prince of Greece are actually the demonic powers over those nations. We have demonic powers over our nation.
Yes.
And because we're not fighting them, they are taking over. Socialistic, communistic ruling is taking over our country. If you're not watching, that's what's happening. And it's not because we need to fight the government. It's because Christians aren't fighting the right way. Christians are picketing. And they're going out with signs. They're trying to stop abortion with signs. They're not trying to stop abortion by the Spirit. And destroy that spirit of anger, that spirit of rejection that's causing that girl to go there. She's rejected. She has no love in her life. She thinks no one cares. And she needs to go and get her degree. And so she goes and kills that baby to worship the god Molech. It's in the Old Testament. Nothing changes. It's all the same from the first day until now. We can fight abortion, we can fight things in our government, but not the way the world fights. It's not flesh, it's not people with bodies, it's not flesh and blood. It's powers that are controlling those. If you go and read the stories, you can see it with spiritual eyes if you are willing to see it. That the actions of these people at the top of our nation, the things they do, doesn't make sense. The easiest way is go look at the Islamic force. Their hatred against the Jews makes no sense whatsoever. Try to reason with them. I challenge you. Go to a gas station in Irvine and try to reason with them. Try to figure out why they hate them. Because my dad did. Why did he hate them? Because his dad did. You'll never come to a logical conclusion. So-and-so way back then, you know, did this, and then there was a specific war. You know, this wasn't right. They didn't do the right thing. It doesn't make sense. Now, that doesn't mean Jews aren't hating Muslims. They still hate Muslims. Honestly, I cannot kind of see why. As many missiles as fly into their country every single day. I don't know if you can imagine your kids going to school like that. But the hatred that they have doesn't make sense. It's demonic. It really is. If we want to fight it, if we're going to go into their territory, we have to fight with the right weapons. How do we do that? I want to show you this. The first thing that we need to understand, the other piece of our defense, is what I want to show you today is that there's three types of the Word of God. Three forms of the Word of God, you might say. In the same way that there are three parts of God. Persons of God. Theologians like to argue over which word you use. Whatever. Father, Son, and Spirit. We are created body, soul, and spirit. The same way the Word of God has three parts. What are they? One, I have to use the Greek words because in English we don't get it. And most of the time they just translate it the word. So we don't get it, so I'm just going to use the Greek words and you guys will feel more educated, you know. The first one is logos. Okay? That's the Word of God. That's the eternal Word of God. That's the Word of God in the heavens that never changes and it has always been there before the Bible was here. Okay? The other Greek word is graphos. Or scriptures, we might say. That's what you're sitting in front of and what you're reading every day. But that's the physical representation, just like the body of Jesus. The body of Jesus had flaws to it. If he fell, he got cut. If he did something like this, something happened, right? So, this book can have typos. This book can get coffee stains. That doesn't mean it's imperfect. Okay? It's the representation of the eternal Word of God. That's what the scriptures are. And then there's the word rhema, which is very specific, and this is the one we're going to address today. This is what happens when you begin to speak the Word of God. So, rhema is a Greek word that actually refers to the words coming out of your mouth. Many times in the New Testament, it's actually translated that saying. So it's literally the things coming out of your mouth. It's not the words that are hanging in the air. It's not the words that are going in your ears or the words that have always been there or the words on the page. It's the ones coming out of your mouth. And so these are the ones that I want to teach you to use here. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, we have the armor of God. That armor are not, those are not weapons. There's only two weapons there in that list. Okay? So if you look, you guys know these. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 through 17. First you have the helmet of salvation, right? Then you have the breastplate of righteousness. These are defense mechanisms, okay? And you have the belt of truth. You have the shield of faith. That can be used a little bit as a weapon, but it helps you, that keeps you able to move forward. It's really defense. Then you have the shoes. Those are defense from things that you're walking on. Then you have the sword. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I want to tell you, the Greek word there, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is the rhema, not the logos. What does that mean? How do you fight? By speaking the Word of God. Okay? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Now, here, the word is logos. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, logos is used. We are testifying to the eternal word. That becomes rhema. So when we testify to the eternal word of God, this is when we overcome. We testify to what God has already declared in eternity. How do we use these? We learn by the manual you have in front of you. This is your fighting manual. You need to get that book down. Memorize. This is why we memorize. Because if you don't know it, you can't use it. If you don't know your car, you can't drive it. You can't parallel park, most people. They don't know when their car stops. You know, where's that hood? You know? Learn your car and you can park. Okay, it's fine. Same thing here. Learn this book and you can fight with it. And then speak it out. How do we use it? We proclaim the Word of God. And I'm not talking about silently. We need to come here. We need to go out there in your car and proclaim the Word of God. A couple quick things and then we'll go into... We're going to proclaim the Word of God today. And then we're going to have communion. And so, the power of words. We need to be careful of the words we receive as well. Because those are from the enemy and those have power. Now, just let me show you. The words of Satan have power, but not much. Remember when Moses went before Pharaoh and he threw down the rod and it became a snake? Now, the magicians practiced real magic. Magic is real. You need to be careful. Fortune cookies are real. You need to be careful. They cast down their rods and they became snakes. Okay? It's no joke. That's weird, but it happened. Moses' snake ate the others. Yeah. Our testimony, our words, our weapons have more power than theirs. Theirs can hold power over you. But if you will testify to the Word of God, it has no power over you. So we need to realize that. Okay? So, here we go. The things that we use as we testify are what comes out of our mouth. We need to testify against the specific things that are going on in our lives. I told our brother back there just a couple weeks ago, I realized I had a problem. I had fortune cookies I held on to. I'm a very driven person. I like driving myself. My wife rarely drives because I enjoy driving. I got a fortune cookie when I was in high school, still studying to try to go race cars, you know, that said, you are in the driver's seat of your life. Your place in life is in the driver's seat. And I got one in South Carolina in Charleston, and then I got another one in Dallas, Texas 2 years later. The same exact one with the same numbers on the bottom. I don't think that was God. I used to think it was God. But there's other powers out there that can make weird things happen. And I did not realize until a couple weeks ago how many times that statement went through my head and controlled my actions. Your place in life is in the driver's seat. My wife would tell me something, your place in life is in the driver's seat. You need to take control of this situation. And the other day, or the other week, I said, you know what? It's time to get rid of this. I realized that these words had power over me. Little words on a paper that I read, and I said, hey, I like this. Now, other fortune cookies, I just threw them out, but these I received. You see? So only these had power over me. And I rebuked them in the name of Jesus in my car. And in the past 3 weeks, I have more than quadrupled my business. Physical ramifications. My business starts growing. I used to get business once a month. For one solid week, I'd get just enough to make our family. God was blessing just enough. But I was holding back God's blessings by taking Satan's words. And now I've got business every week, just flowing, you know. And I don't know what to do with it. We need to be careful. And with them, we speak God's words. So I rebuked it in the name of Jesus, and I said, I am no longer in the driver's seat of my life. Jesus is in the driver's seat. He has the keys, He has the wheel, and He takes control. I'm in the trunk with the lid closed. I don't even get the back seat so I can reach over. Right? You go. Fill it up with whatever high octane you got. Let me give you guys some words that we can proclaim because we're out of time. I want us to, anyone that wants to overcome something this morning, there's something the Lord was speaking to me. I had to go find it this morning. All things are permissible for me. But I will not come under the power of anything. Some of you that are struggling with addictions need to proclaim this. And you need to declare this until you are set free. Because you've listened to the words of Satan one too many times. And then this. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. If you say this, if you proclaim this word, you will not be tempted to do the opposite. If you want to surrender to Satan's words in your mind, you'll be defeated, just like everyone else. And if you'll learn these things, we can come together again and start learning how to fight the demons over our country. And then we can start taking back ground. This is warfare. Spiritual warfare. We say that like it's some, like it's the clouds somewhere. It doesn't really affect us that much. This is warfare. And people are dying because of this. I just prayed with a lady that I cleaned her carpets just the other day. Her dad practiced voodoo underneath her bed. And she was dropped when she was 6 and it never healed. To this day, her and her husband are always, she's having to go to physical therapy. And then she got, as soon as she was feeling better, she got in a wreck and it made it worse again. You think this is by accident? The spiritual things affect the physical more than the physical. So we prayed and it stopped. We said, Jesus in Galatians chapter 3, you guys need to proclaim this one. He became a curse for you so that the curse could be released from you. Because cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And he hung on a tree. He became the curse that you might receive the blessing of Abraham. What blessing is that? Whoever curses you, I will curse. Whoever blesses you, I will bless. He gives this to you by His power. So anyone that wants to receive this now, let's stand up. We're going to proclaim this. You got to be bold. This is faith. We're going to do this 3 times. These 2 verses, let me say it once and so you guys can memorize it, and then we'll say it together. Because you need to do this, you need to know what you're doing. Don't just like, you know, random, oh, I'll do whatever you say, you know. So, we're going to say these 2 verses I quoted earlier. All things are permissible for me, but I will not come under the power of anything. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Okay, so repeat after me. All things are permissible for me. But I will not come under the power of anything. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. All things are permissible for me. But I will not come under the power of anything. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. All things are permissible for me. But I will not come under the power of anything. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. In the name of Jesus, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Amen. All right. Now let's take a time to bring this into our hearts as we do communion. You all know more scripture than this. There's some words that God's going to give you now by His Spirit to claim by the blood of the Lamb. This is the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. So you don't have to say every... If you want, stand up and say it. But really respect, you know, everyone else. Unless God's provoking you that hard to stand up and maybe it's for someone else. But there's a word that God's going to give you that is for you specifically, that you need to keep proclaiming in your life. And you need to say it, just say it under your breath, but say it. Don't let it stay in your mind. Let it come to the front and speak these words. And let the blood of the Lamb, He was broken for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. By His stripes, we are healed. This is confidence. This isn't some weak thing. This is strength here. Paul said that some of you do this communion unworthily, and so you are still sick. The spiritual things affect the physical far more than the physical does. Let God work in this time in your heart. Let Him give you the words from His Word that it testifies to the eternal Word so that you can proclaim it in your life. Let's take this time silently now so that He can do that work. And then I'm going to come up and pray and we will take this together. Speaking into our lives right now. I know that Your Spirit is giving words of wisdom and words of knowledge, Lord. You're speaking Your Word into our lives, Lord. Thank You for the words that You have given me, Lord. Thank You that we can overcome, Lord, that You've shown me that we can overcome evil with good. We don't need to be overcome by evil, but we overcome evil with good. Lord, thank You that You've shown me that we can stand strong in You. We have no need to fear. We have not been given a spirit of fear,
but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Lord, that you have overcome the darkness by the light, that there is nothing that can stand against you, that we will walk in the light as you are in the light. We will dispel the darkness. We will destroy the enemy. Father, thank you that you sent your Son to the cross to make this work take place. Thank you, Father, that you were willing to become a servant, Lord, that we might be lifted up. You humbled yourself. Lord, help us to humble ourselves now. Help us to be before you as nothing. The nothing that we are, it's true. We're guilty, Father. Satan will come to each of us and try to condemn us of our guilt. But, Father, through this blood of your Son, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Thank you that that is true. Thank you that you have overcome, that you have judged the ruler of this world, that he no longer has place in our lives. So, brothers, we take this breath, but as the body that was broken for us, for our healing, by your stripes, we are healed. And I pray, Father, that you would send your Spirit to heal those who receive this in faith. Receive the bread now. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the blood. We receive that now in the name of Jesus. Drink the blood. Not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Savior, I come, quiet my soul. Remember, redemption's here, where your blood was spilled. Oh, my ransom, everything I once held dear, I count it all as Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you.
Father, we just thank you, Lord. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love. Thank you for all you've done, Father. We just praise you, give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, all God's name is said. Amen.